And this is, I don't know which episode of Not Half Bad, but
it's 15.
First, oh, episode? 15? No, it's 16.
16.
Yes, 15 nice. Was last week, but you weren't here for that.
No.
We had a Creighton guy, we had a...
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, we had a guy from Cincinnati. Yeah.
Listen, you mentioned me.
But yes, Dave and I are actually in person here in a lovely part of New Jersey that we will not mention, because if I mention it, then people will know that I've gone to this part of New Jersey and I'll lose all of my street cred.
But you'll have hipster cred.
No, I won't. This isn't hipster at all. We don't need to talk about this. But yes, this is Not Half Bad. You've rejoined us live, and we are the podcast covering St. John's and Rutgers basketball. I'm Norman of Rumble in the Garden, who you can find at Rumble in the Garden or at Rumble SBN.
And I'm Dave from OnTheBanks.com. Am I close enough?
Close enough.
I'm Dave from OnTheBanks.com, and you can find me at Dave_White on Twitter. So...
Well, yeah, we're recording in an entirely different form, so who knows how this will come out. Actually, I know it'll come out well, because this recorder has done me very well.
All right, good, yeah. Good. This is all new for me.
Yes.
This live stuff, this not Skype stuff, but...
I think we're probably going to keep this one kind of short.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot to say. You know, we're in the Northeast, there's been a lot of snow. St. John's played a game in front of friends, family, and I think the maybe a small Statue Island ferry worth of people.
And the Seton Hall Water boys.
Yeah, the Seton Hall Water boys, who came out strong. You know, go them.
What happened in that game? I caught the score and I watched the first half, but I was exhausted. I fell right asleep.
You know, I kind of fell asleep too while I was writing the recap.
It was close. I know Seton Hall has some chemistry problems going on right now, suspending two seniors.
Yeah. The at the same time as Rutgers' game was canceled against Southern Methodist, and we'll talk about that too. It went very well, I hear,
for Southern Methodist.
St. John's played Seton Hall in New Jersey at Newark.
Newark.
And the thing is, St. John's has not won there since 1998. They go into the game, you know, feeling, you know, fairly confident on their, like, three-game winning streak. And St. John's manages to, let's say, play very down to a down opponent. In fact, with two players out for Seton Hall, this being Brian Oliver, the shooter, and Eugene Teague, their big center, who is a real matchup problem, St. John's managed to go down, I forget how much, it was something like
they're down 10.
They were down 10 at the half. And Patrick Alda looked like, you know, he had decided to, you know, take Eugene Teague's spirit and just start dunking all over people. It was a little sad, because, I mean, Alda's a good player. He fits a role. And, you know, he didn't know he was going to start until, I guess, before the game. And, yeah. So that was a little weird. You know, St. John's just really had a hard time keeping them out of the lane. In fact, Seton Hall scored all but two of their made field goals in the lane, like on layups and dunks.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
Yeah, and they're a three-point shooting team, so that's really weird to, you know, their offense, Willard's offense, is based on, you know, almost everybody being able to shoot.
Yeah, and so, you know, they're not that talented, they're not that quick, so it's weird to see a team just, you know, throw it down all over the Johnny. Maybe they were a little tired. I don't know. Maybe it was a long... I don't know. Maybe
the snow.
Yeah,
that was a bad storm.
Yeah,
the game should have been rescheduled.
Yeah, they knew that they were in Jersey, though. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, ouch. Jersey.
Is that how you're feeling right now?
Let's not talk about it. No, I actually like Jersey. I just like to make fun. It was a terrible storm. It was, like, wet and icy outside. And seriously, there were 200 people in the arena. I mean, you could hear them all. I think I heard people chewing nachos. But in the second half, St. John's had a nice run to start the half. Seton Hall battled back. They went back and forth. And then the Hall just did not score for the last...
3 minutes?
Last 3 minutes, I think it was. St. John's held them down. Held them to maybe like 2 points in the last eight. Something along those lines.
And I think Seton Hall's last possession was a bad one.
Yeah, their last offensive possession, well, before like the last possession, was... Sterling Gibbs had the ball.
Edwin missed the three.
Yeah, before that possession, actually. Sterling Gibbs had the ball. He drives in, and D'Angelo Harrison kind of lets him go, decides to follow, and blocks him. And that was pretty much their last scoring threat. But on their last offensive possession that they had Sterling Gibbs bring the ball, dribble around a little bit, turn around, hand off to Fuquan Edwin, who then shoots a three.
Good play.
In terms of ball motion, one could say that you can't really consider that ball motion.
No.
So, yeah. And for a St. John's team that can sometimes get a little confused on switching, you know, they do switch a lot, one would think you try to do something else. But no, they did not. And as such, St. John's had a chance to win, and they ended up getting a possession with Raishi Jordan coming up the middle of the court. You know, 10 seconds left, 9 seconds, 8 seconds, 7 seconds. By the way, Raishi Jordan's doing nothing.
Your counting is good, though.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm counting about as well as Raishi Jordan dribbled. And with about 4 seconds left, you think, you know, maybe he's going to do something or take a shot. And I'm not sure what he was waiting for. Jakar Sampson moves a little. Jerome Apor moves a little bit over. And all of a sudden, Chris Webeck was kind of open. Raishi Jordan throws one of the best passes I've ever seen. A bounce pass into the lane that Obekpa picks up and tries to dunk. He gets fouled and goes to the line, makes one of two free throws, and that's the win.
Wow.
All in all, it wasn't a pretty game. But it's a win. St. John's has won 4 straight.
You're on the bubble, for sure.
Definitely, you know, in the bubble range. And it's, you know, just sometimes you got to win ugly, I guess.
Yeah.
You'd like a win that gave you a little more confidence, and you'd like a team that didn't play as if they expected not to lose, not a team playing to win. Mm-hmm. But, you know, such is life.
Yeah. They have Georgetown tonight? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, Georgetown, which I will be attending.
Cool.
And Georgetown has beaten the living piss out of St. John's, I believe, the last 5 times, maybe?
Yes.
Yes. You might remember such fun games as Kadeem and Jai starts. And,
my favorite player on St. John's.
Yes. And St. John's goes cold for a whole half. And, yeah. And ooh, Jamal Branch gets rolled by Nate Lubick. It's been a house of horrors.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One hopes that St. John's can finally get over the hump now that they're feeling confident and they're at home and such. But, you know, it's a real fingers crossed kind of game because Georgetown's a team that you, at this state, for the Johnnies to get to the NCAA tournament, they really need to not lose to Georgetown because Georgetown's kind of turned into a turd. They're also 6-6. They have a nice little streak going, but they lost, 5 straight in Big East play? You can't lose to this team, you know? No matter how good they were supposed to be going into the season, you can't lose to this team.
No. I... Now they are kind of rolling though since the Michigan State win, but they played DePaul and Providence.
Yeah,
but
I mean Providence should be better. They've had good streaks, they've had bad streaks, but you can't lose to this team. You know, you gotta know that the Big East probably has about, you know, 4 teams that are going to go to the NCAA tournament. You can't lose to that team.
Yeah,
you just can't.
Lots of injuries.
Yeah,
to Providence, so they should be better.
Is Bryce Cotton out? Is that what it was?
No, it's...
No, they're still losing. They're still without Chris Dunn.
Yeah, he's the one. And then they kicked 2 kids off the team.
Yeah, Brandon Austin and the other guy. Bullock, I think was his name.
See, we're live together now, so Norman can actually see me zone out in person when I start thinking about Providence injuries.
there's drool going on right now.
Yeah.
Lots of drool. You know, it's funny, though. As an aside, Providence has won 1 of their last 5 games, and that one was over DePaul.
They were on the bubble, and then all of a sudden
after
they fell
Xavier
off.
Win,
yeah, the Xavier one.
Jeez, what's up, Providence? What's up with that? We're going to have a Providence person on to explain
this. I love
this
the Friar Block guy, even though he doesn't write anymore.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He is.
David, he's a good fella.
He's got a good name, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Good fella. Good name.
So what's St. John's looking to do? I mean, they're looking to win, but what do you think? What do they got? 6 games left?
They got 6 games left.
What do you think they
got
to do?
It's tough to say.
4-2?
You know, it depends on how well the Big East is regarded. I think 5-1 is obviously a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you want to lose 2 to Xavier. you could probably get away with losing, you know, that second one to Villanova.
Yeah.
But there are pitfalls all over this league. You know, the league is stronger than one thinks. Butler could come out with a better game plan. Marquette is a better team, and they're going to be playing at home when St. John's plays them.
Yeah.
I don't know, 4-2, and then maybe a win in the Big East tournament, depending on where they start. You know,
where
as long as they don't play the first day.
Yeah.
You know, if they can get a win in that first day, I don't know. You know, that's maybe a play-in game, maybe even a solid 12 seed. Maybe an 11.
I've been trying to figure out last night what SMU would be seeded at.
It's a tough one.
I was thinking like an 8.
Let's first talk about the SMU and what happened and how Rutgers did it.
They played their season in a nutshell. They played well enough to be in the game.
Oh no, it's a season in a nutshell! Yes. Oh, what a big nut we are in!
All right, eat your chocolate chip muffin cookie. Your muffy.
I'm not eating a muffy. Yes, this thing's called a muffy. Isn't that dirty? No. Good lord. Anyway, continue. No. Muffy.
No, they played their usual game at home where they played a team that's clearly better than them.
Mm-hmm.
And they hung around. They even took... I'm trying to remember. They were down 8 in the second half and got back to within 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miles Mack took a really bad shot. It seems to be a thing of Rutgers where as soon as they get close, they run their worst possession of the game. They go a little one-on-one. I think, especially at home, they try to get the crowd into it.
Yeah. They try for that highlight hero shot.
Yeah, instead of actually running a good possession.
What song do you think they're playing in their head when they're taking your hero shot?
I don't know enough about college age music.
I don't know either. I'd like to think that Eli Carter is playing Celine Dion. I don't know why. When he was on the roster, you know, it's like
Miles Mack. Miles Mack might be a Foo Fighters guy. I don't know. But no, and Nick Moore, SMU's diminutive point guard, really just took over the game. First half, didn't shoot much, but, you know, got his teammates open, and then second half, off screens, ball screens, and runouts, just got open for three. He went 5-for-9 from three, scored 21 points, and, you know, really, right when Rutgers got close, you know, SMU did what a good team did. They withstood Rutgers' run and then pulled away, and they won by 10. You know, so it was usual bad defense when you needed
good defense.
Good defense, yeah. and bad possessions when you needed a good one. So, I mean, the stats aren't bad because they're 16 assists to 7 turnovers. You know, they hung on to the ball.
We were talking about our New York accent, or our Eastern accents. He's got a Jersey accent.
Yeah. Rebounding 32-33, it's not bad. You know, the stats aren't bad on paper, but it's just in the moments when it counted, they couldn't come through with that possession that, you know, really kept them in the game. And they shot 3 of 14. I thought it was 2 of 10 at one point from three point. I don't think they even hit a three-pointer till there was like 10 minutes left in the second half.
Was that good smooth defense? Or?
Yeah. Mack was off. He missed a couple of... he still scored 17. I don't know how he did it. But, he was open a couple times and, like, you know, had his feet set, really good open shots in the first half and was clanking them off the rim. Jack never really got going. He finished with 15, but, you know, missed key free throws. You know, it was all key moments that this team messes up. So the stats look okay, but in the most important moments, they just never got it done.
I mean, it wasn't a huge loss. I mean, I'm assuming it was padded a little bit by late free throws, right?
No, it mostly stayed around, what was it, 10-point loss, 12-point loss? It mostly stayed around 10 the last 5 minutes of the game. I think Rutgers got to within 6 at one point, and, you know, just couldn't get the stop. It was just Nick Moore. Every time they needed a three-pointer, he hit it. So that's basically, I mean, they shot 8 of 18. And Rutgers from three-point land, and Rutgers shot 3 of 14. That's your stat right there.
Tough.
Pretty much kills you. And, you know, now Rutgers has to travel to Louisville on Sunday night.
Oh, that's an easy game, right?
For Louisville. You know, and you're still hoping for that sixth spot, but it just became a little more difficult.
I see. To win the American Conference Tournament, because that's what Dave said, if you haven't heard.
I did predict them to win the American Conference Tournament. I'm standing by that. I tweeted after every game.
He stands by his man or whatever.
Yeah. My mannerisms.
Yeah. That's much better.
Yeah.
Stands by his mannerisms.
Yeah. And looking at KenPom, which Norman has a subscription to, so that's awesome.
And Dave doesn't for some reason.
And I don't for some reason. They're projected to finish 6-12 in conference. If they could get 7 wins in conference, you know, sneak out another one, I think that would be a nice record. It wouldn't be a great season because there were still those losses to William and Mary and Fairleigh Dickinson and
given the turnover that they had.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I...
You're right, though. Losing to Fairleigh Dickinson makes your season terrible. So
yes,
this is true.
So Seton Hall also had a terrible season.
Yes.
But I've seen a lot in conference play that make me a lot more confident in Jordan and his basketball philosophy than I was earlier. I think it's a philosophy and a system that can work with the right players. I think the thing is, looking at this team, is there's talent on the team and there's a good coach, but the talent doesn't fit the coach.
Yes.
I think that seems to be the problem. It's like square peg, round hole kind of thing.
I do think that's a significant problem for Rutgers. I mean, you have to allow them at least a couple of transition years while he figures out. I mean, the guy also wasn't coaching. Had he coached college at all before?
He was an assistant at Rutgers, Old Dominion, and Boston College.
Really?
Yeah. He was assistant at Rutgers last time he went to the NCAAs.
Oh, so like about 90 years ago?
23 years ago. Not that I'm counting.
Yeah.
Before I even went to school there. Before I even knew Rutgers had a basketball team.
You know, 1991 was a great year. I think that was that before Nevermind came out?
Just before.
Just before Nevermind by Nirvana. Let's see.
My dad calls...
Biggie had never released an album. Yeah, it's great.
My dad calls 1991 his best college basketball year because all three of his schools were in the tournament at Duke, Seton Hall, and Rutgers.
This is true.
So
Seton Hall was competent too.
Yeah. So, you know, there's hope. It's really going to fall on Eddie's recruiting and if he can get a break in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
That's basically what it's going to come down to.
That's going to be hard, break in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is no American. When do they come to the...
Next season. Interesting.
Like Maryland.
Yeah. And next year is interesting because they're going to have a senior-dominated team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still that, like, Miles Mack, Seegers, Jack. I think Jack fits the offense really well. I think Mack is a really good player. I think he's a little small for what Jordan wants to do.
Yeah.
But it's still a senior team, and they're bringing in 4 players who are supposed to be pretty talented.
Who are they bringing in?
Mike Williams, who we talked about, Brooklyn players, shooter.
Bishop Lachlan.
Yeah, he's a shooter. He's 6'3", so he'll be the tallest guard on the team. Bishop Daniels, who was a big-time recruit out of high school, played at Miami for a year and then transferred to a JUCO.
Oh, yeah.
And is now coming back. He'll probably play wing. He's like
6'6"?
He might be 6'2", but he's got, like, length.
Okay.
Apparently, I mean, that's the scouting report on it. I've never seen him play. Dwayne Foreman, who's a 6'7", like, wing power forward, who's a top 150 player, who apparently, just before he committed to Rutgers, Kentucky got involved in. I guess Kentucky was worried they were going to lose out on a recruit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's supposed to have talent. He's a lefty. And they just got a commitment from a center, 6'10 center, Ibrahima Diallo.
Oh, nice.
Who I'm sure is supposed to be a project, but he'll fill a role.
I feel like he's a top 100, but I might be wrong.
He was about to be top 100, and then he tore his ACL.
Okay.
And now he's back full strength, and I think he's just out of the 150. They call him the best. ESPN says he's the best not top 100 player out there. So,
which, I mean, two things about centers and those rankings is that, one, I do, as I remember it, because I've been, you know, for St. John's, I've been trying to keep tabs on Chek Diallo.
Yeah.
Chick.
Who Rutgers is interested in, too.
You know, about, like, 8 years ago, I would have been able to pronounce his name. I was working with a lot of West Africans, and now I forget how to pronounce Schick. Schick? Schick. Let's call it Schick. Gallo. And not Schick. So, yeah. I've been keeping tabs on Diallo, but I remember that there was an Ibrahima, because, you know, a couple times I was like, ooh, Diallo did what? Oh, that was Ibrahima.
Yeah.
But the second thing is that, you know, guys who are, you know, 6'11" and, you know, maybe are lacking in some skills, honestly, they're not, there's not really a really big difference between the guys who are, like, you know, just out of the top 20 and the guys who are just top 100. Yeah. It's really about desire and their ability to pick up what the offense is doing. You know, some of those guys you get into that, like, you know, 20 to 80 range are guys who are just so quick or so, they look so much more dominant against smaller players that you have to highly rank them. But some of those guys don't end up not padding out. Yeah. And then some of those guys are just like, you know, end up being like loafy, like power centers that aren't as good as you think they are, like Wally Judge. And, but, you know, Chris Obeck is one of those guys who's like, he was so impressive at shot blocking that he got to be like, you know, somewhere between like 50 and I think 80 in most recruiting rankings. And it's like, you know, centers develop. I mean, it's hard to develop when you're playing against dudes who are like 6'4", you know?
Yeah. I think if he can play 15 minutes a game and rebound,
block some shots,
he'll have a role next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because with Kadeem Jack and Greg Lewis, who, you know, Jack's been really well, and Lewis is developing. He's still only a sophomore in terms of playing time.
Oh.
He's not going to need to play 35 minutes a game as a freshman. He can develop, but he is going to have an important role.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at him kind of like how Hamidi Enjai was in his first 2 years.
Oh, yeah. And Enjai developed so well.
Yeah. Enjai had one of the best senior years, especially under Fred Hill, that I've seen at Rutgers, you know, so...
It's an awesome hair of Fred Hill. It really just gets through to the players.
Well, Fred Hill didn't have hair when he was at
Rutgers.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. He was so cute. Well, I like the way he looks now. He looks like a mad professor.
Yeah, well, he kind of went a little crazy, I think, after he flipped out on an umpire.
He did also go to Northwestern, so you kind of have to look a little professorial, you know, shave Kate and the, you know, the kind of Ben Franklin hair thing going.
It's very funny because when you hear Fred Hill's at Seton Hall now as an assistant, when you hear the Seton Hall players talk about their chemistry problems, they all break out these Fred Hill cliches that he used to use at Rutgers when Rutgers had all their
like
five fingers make a fist, and we just have to keep keep cracking the rock, you know.
Oh my god!
And it's really like, oh, there are chemistry problems, and Fred Hill is there.
You know, I don't want to. So I do want to make a comment about St. John's recruiting afterwards. But before that, let's talk a little bit about Seton Hall and their chemistry problems. They have two guys who, well, you know, I guess there are a lot of chemistry problems around the Big East.
Yeah.
With Cleveland Melvin being kicked off of DePaul, and with you know, Brian Oliver and Eugene Teague getting suspended by Kevin Willard, who I always want to call Fred Willard, like the actor.
Yeah. Well, he is kind of a monster type. Never mind.
And I think it's interesting seeing how these teams that, you know, went out on a limb for, well, I guess Cleveland Melvin wasn't really out on a limb, but he is a guy who, you know, had some looks from other schools and decided to go to DePaul, but obviously went to DePaul because he knew that he would be able to get a whole lot of time, had some stats, get his Rookie of the Year, and it seems like...
My sleeper team, boy, did they disappoint.
I still think, I mean, I think they're better than they appear, and I don't know the ins and outs, but I think it's good that they've let Cleveland Melvin go. I think that Melvin is... he's an okay player. He's a points compiler, and I think he certainly showed well and he's developed well. But I also think that, you know, he's the kind of guy that can hold you back. And you can see, you know, if you've been losing badly for 4 years, it's probably very hard to have a real leadership attitude that a coach would want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, one should be allowed to sometimes get a little snappy because it's been 4 years of losing and things aren't getting better. But... You know, at a certain point, this is sports, and you've got to work with your coach, you know, and you can't be, you know, mouthing off or whatever it was that happened, you know,
mm-hmm.
like D'Angelo Harrison learned last year, and like I guess Melvin's learning now.
Yeah.
He'll find his way to Europe, like he would have found his way to Europe anyway, you know, or maybe Venezuela, perhaps Japan, and you know, maybe someday he'll get the sense of, you know, what being on a winning team means, and you know, that's fine for him. On the other hand, you know, you have guys like Teague and Oliver on Seton Hall, and both of those guys transferred And sometimes, you know, you gotta say, you know, there are a lot of guys who transfer because they have some problems.
Yep.
Teague I know less about because he seemed to be successful enough at a, you know, struggling Southern Illinois team. But Brian Oliver, there definitely were some chatter that, you know, he was one of those hero in his own mind.
I was gonna say he's one of those get mine kids.
Yeah, he's like a real get mine sort of shooter. And
here,
oh, look at that. Yeah. There's Seton Hall. Yeah, I'm just going to look at Oliver's career stats. And Brian Oliver is a guy who, when he was transferring to Seton Hall, you know, I was chatting with some Georgia Tech guys just about that guy is just not a quarter of as good as he thinks he is, given the shots that he takes. You know, kind of like what was that dude, Victor Rudd on South Florida, who is, you know, he just seems like a team killer. You know, the kind of guy where you're like, just stop doing that.
Yeah.
Play smart basketball. Be tall. You know, be tall and set your feet and don't just go ooh shot 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 shot. You know, you're not LMFAO.
Ooh.
You know, shots.
I know,
stuff.
I got it. But
I love using that record. I thought it was funny. And the funny thing is, you know, Oliver's actually shooting far, far better than he has in his whole career. But still, you know.
Yeah, but he's like only shooting three-pointers, pretty much.
Yeah. That is kind of his job. But still.
Yeah, but halfway through the season, I think he'd taken and made like 1 2-pointer. There was some like ridiculous stat.
Oh my god. In the Big East? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh wow, yeah, look at that. I'm looking at his 2-point shooting, and it's.
He had taken, up until St. Peter's, he'd made one and taken, what's that, like 8?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, and you know that's the kind of thing that will get you you know booted from a team, but you know it's not the smart play. So you know these are guys who you know yeah they're 18 and I think there needs to be some forgiveness for that, but you know there are guys who just need to get their heads correct and learn what you know listening and playing in on a functional team really looks like. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. One can only hope.
Willard's gonna have his work cut out for him next year too with the superstar class he's bringing in, and
he's and people will I'm sure bring up the superstar class they had in what was it 2001 that Tommy Emmerich brought in with
Fred Hill group.
Yeah, no, not
Fred Hill was lead assistant.
Was with Tommy Emmerich.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. Ew.
Yeah.
So he's back at Seton Hall.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Because,
mm-hmm.
That Eddie Griffin team was fascinating because you could kind of see it coming, you know. I think there was a lot of talk early on just about, like, the, you know, locker room problems. And, you know, it devolved into, Eddie Griffin punching out Ty Shine?
Yes. Ty Shine, that was the...
And how could you punch out Ty Shine, the hero? I loved it. When Ty Shine went off and, Shaheen Holloway fell during the 98 or 99 NCAA tournament against Oregon. You know, it was like, oh man, you know, you're kind of hoping for a local team to do something. And Ty Shine, you know, he tried to play a little bit of point guard, and then he was like, F this. And just Ty Shine, man, it's just like, ball in. It was like, you know, he was just like water. He had like, what, 6 threes, I think, in that game to lead them over Oregon in that in overtime. Great game.
Who was that class? It was Eddie Griffin.
It was Eddie Griffin, I think Marcus Tony L.
Tony
maybe
L.
Andre Barrett, because I think he came at the same time as Omar Cook and Talik Brown.
Yeah.
And there was another guy or two, but I think those are like the three really big names.
Mm-hmm. Barrett hung around. He was the one who hung around. Well, Tony L, too.
Yeah, Tony L did, too. Tony L graduated because I think he overlapped with guys like Brian Lang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Seton Hall's a mess.
Seton Hall is a mess. So it goes. And as far as recruiting, St. John's right now has nobody, but they have seem to have stepped up the attention. Sheikh Diallo was in was at the Creighton game.
Sorry. He's a 2015 guy.
Yeah, he's a 2015 guy. And St. John's had said that they were focusing more on 2015. Supposedly they rolled deep to an Isaiah Briscoe game as well. And of course they're going to get him because, you know, Isaiah Briscoe is never going to Rutgers, right?
Zagoria said on Twitter that Eddie's worked really hard with Briscoe and might land him. And then 3 days later said, UConn's working really hard with Briscoe and might land him. It was like the exact same tweet with different names.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, he gets to work in Isaiah Briscoe's name, right? So
yeah.
That's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I mean, that's pretty much it. What does Rutgers have next?
Louisville tomorrow.
Oh, gosh.
And,
yes.
And then Memphis at home on Thursday. So at Louisville and then home against Memphis. So
you'll get to see what Rutgers does playing from behind.
Well, yeah.
And playing really fast. I mean, those will at least be entertaining games.
You hope.
One hopes.
You never know. There's always a chance for a miracle.
Is there always, though?
Always.
Meanwhile, St. John's has Georgetown on Sunday.
Really busy week, huh?
Yeah, and Butler on Tuesday. I know this only in part because one of the Butler guys reached out for a Q&A, and I was like, oh, yeah, Butler. I forgot about that.
They were fun to watch under Stevens. I haven't seen them much this year, actually.
They're interesting. They look like, you know, like they know what they're doing, and sometimes they run very interesting sets.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they are not talented.
No, they lost everybody. I mean, that's why Stevens left. I mean, they lost everybody. That's how a team like that, you know, when you're in a Horizon or something like that, that's how you build. You build for 2 years, juniors and seniors, and then you start all over again.
Yeah.
And they're in the start all over again, except now they're in the Big East, so they think they're going to have to try to recruit at a higher level.
Yeah, I mean, they have guys who are, like, okay, but well, it's like Alex Barlow, I think, is the guy from, is he Australian? No, Jackson Aldridge is the Australian. And those two guys just aren't really that dynamic at the point guard spot. They lost Roosevelt Jones.
Okay.
I think it's Roosevelt Jones, and you know, Kyle Marshall's good, but he's more of like a role player. Yeah, Roosevelt Jones. So I don't know. I mean, they definitely have to step up the recruiting, but you know, they're fine. Callum Dunham can shoot a little bit. They're okay. You know, they're not embarrassing. They're not, you know, bad DePaul, you know.
DePaul. But
I don't know. Maybe that Thursday, March 6th, I'll go to the DePaul Butler game for fun.
There you go.
Because I can.
It's just, you know, season's winding down. St. John's has stuff to play for. It looks like Rutgers, you want to watch the development of, like, a junior E2, and you want to watch recruiting more. But you never know. There's always a chance for an upset here or there. And I think Jordan needs an upset big time. He needs to show that, you know, what he's doing can work against bigger teams.
Yeah.
I think he needs that signature win. And there's only, I mean,
a few more opportunities for that. Yeah.
Louisville, Memphis, and Cincinnati. And you can't think they're going to win tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, there's Connecticut, too, on the road.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but that's one of those...
They're not good on the road. They're not, you know, so...
You just got Memphis and Cincinnati, then.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a tournament, too.
Well, we're going to win it, so...
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. So, what are you worried about? There are upset wins coming.
I know, but there's still, like, 3 weeks till then, so...
You've got to have something entertaining, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So this was a live episode of Not Half Bad, and I'm Dave from On the Banks.
And this is Norman from Rumble in the Garden. I'm going to say that I think we're not going to edit anything out, which will be entertaining.
Yeah,
this
if only
progress.
You could see the looks we were getting as people were walking by.
Yeah.
This is a video podcast.
I kind of did it in a Speedo, so, you know, people thought, no, I didn't.
It's snowing.
Yeah, it's a little too cold for a Speedo. I wore shorts. But thank you for listening, and remember to send your questions to nothalfbadpod@gmail.com.
Or on Twitter. What's it?
NHBpod. Yeah. Or, you know, just to either of us, or, you know, you can find us on Facebook. So that's us, and we thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Next week.